We are in Jonah, and we are going to be going through chapter 2 again, or part of it, chapter 3. And it's so nice that there's enough people in here. I got to turn the heater off, so that's cool. Yeah, if anybody needs a blanket, let me know. But I'm excited to pick up where we left off last week in the book of Jonah. And some of you that weren't with us, by way of an explanation, we know that the book of Jonah was written in what is known as a historical or satirical form, and it's not an allegory. What's allegory? Again, for those of you who may need a refresher on that. An allegory is a story, a poem, or picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, okay? And so we know that the book of Jonah is not attempting to reveal a hidden message or a hidden meaning, but to inform us exactly, there he is. Pause. Where's my pause button?
I miss
him. Yeah, this is great stuff. So we get to pick up right where I left off. And we know, I said that the book of Jonah was not attempting to reveal a hidden message, but to inform us of exactly what the writer of the book wants us to know. There's a reason that God has the book for us, and we need to understand it. Now, if we just go through this book just as a glance over, it's easy to do. The book is very easy to read, 4 chapters. You can do it in just probably 10, 15 minutes. But if we just glance over it, we're going to miss the meaning of the message that God has for us. And so oftentimes, and definitely in our culture today, yes, I'm glad I can edit this. Thanks for reminding me. That's where you're my helpmate. That was Linda. Where was I? But oftentimes in the culture today, it's easy for people to look at this or make maybe an easy attempt to dismiss the story as just a fairy tale. How many of you have ever actually heard people say, you know, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God would have a fish eat someone? But for us tonight, it will be easy to sit through this study and just go through the motions as well if we miss the message. There's an important message that goes on here for us. After all, we are dealing with many things in here that don't make sense, are we not? If you've read the book of Jonah, you're going to know that. Bad people, the Ninevites, turn into good people, and good people, Jonah, becomes a bad person because of his attitude. Also, a big fish swallows a man, and in chapter 4, as we're going to see, a gourd grows up overnight and for shade for Jonah. And then God sends a worm to come in and eat it and get rid of it and destroys it. And I have no idea what that's about, but God does. And there's a meaning in there for us. So at the end of the book, also, we're left hanging in the book. If you've read the last chapter, you're looking at it and going, and what happened in this? So we need to know what the message is for us in here. And whether a person believes the book of Jonah to be real or not, there is a definite meaning that God is attempting to relate to us. Okay, so I want us to look at that. But why do I say that? He's gone through great lengths to, and in extreme, to make sure that one of the books, that it wasn't one of the books of the Bibles. It is his word. And we need to remember that phrase, his word. And so now, what is it that we've uncovered up till now since we've been studying Jonah? He's a prodigal prophet and he flees the ministry that God has given him. He finds himself getting thrown overboard out of a ship by scared, angry sailors. Sorry, right? Because of a storm. And then he then finds himself swallowed up by a large fish that God has arranged to have him for dinner. And so think about that when we ate those great ribs. Well, this fish got Jonah. I don't know what flavor he was, but for the most part, that might be the biggest fish story.
Probably bitter.
Yeah. The biggest fish story, no pun intended, that anyone's ever heard. But nonetheless, it is a true story. And for those who may have missed any of the first 3 studies that we have, we know it to be true because historically, 1 Kings speaks of it as historical. Also, Jesus himself spoke of it to some religious people who were asking for a sign. How many of you know, remember that? They asked for a sign, and Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. And so we saw last week that Jonah had been in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he gets this bright idea after the 3rd day to pray to God. I don't know how long it would take you. And we saw that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. And if you recall, last week we went over four different things. I'm not going to have you write today, by the way. So, but we looked at four things specifically that we saw in chapter 2. When he was in trouble, number one, Jonah cries out to the Lord. Then Jonah recognizes where he is. Or I should say also, he recognizes where he's not as well. But he recognizes also where God is. And during that time of trial, he remembers what God gives. Always. It's always a good thing to go back and remember what God has done for us previously. If you're going through a hard time, if you're trying to receive a word from God, go back to what you do know, the thing that he did for you before. And since I covered all that in chapter 2 last week, there's always a need for some extra clarification in our study. And so that is what we've uncovered so far, but I want to backtrack a little bit to verse 7, if you would follow with me in chapter 2. Jonah's discovering regarding his circumstance. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." And remember, I shared in there that it's always good to go to a place where it is the temple of God. It could be in your closet. It could be anywhere in your house, but the place where you feel comfortable with the Lord. A lot of times for me, it's over on the beach. I just sit there and I could just feel his presence there. Now, God is everywhere, right? We know that. I'm not here advocating you got to go to Lincoln City or, you know, Seaside to see God. It's just, I look out in the ocean, I see the vastness of it. And I think, man, only God could do this. Only God could create that. And so, but he says something particularly profound here. It says, "When my soul fainted." Now, the Hebrew word hatof used here denotes a shroud to cover, an idea of darkness to languish, to hide self, or to be overwhelmed. Has anyone ever been overwhelmed in here? No? Okay, you guys are awesome Christians. I can remember feeling overwhelmed to the point of wanting to faint. Maybe in having a baby, right? I mean, you can be overwhelmed the moment it's happening. But I'm certain that many times that we as believers have felt these feelings or the impressions of them, have we not? Or is anyone besides me? I know I have. Maybe I deal with a lot of great Christians. Nothing moves you guys. So anyway, maybe you get some startling news. And what is it that we do? What do we run to? A vice? Or a habit, or maybe to someone. We run to someone thinking that they're going to be the ones that can help us. In our study, Jonah gives us the answer that got him out of this horrible plight. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." And here's a question I have for us tonight. Whether in the past or in recent days, when things looked bleak, did we remember the Lord? Think about that for a moment. When I'm hit with it all of a sudden, it's probably the second thing I do. It depends on what the news is, right? If it's something that makes me angry, I don't really think of the Lord right at that moment. I think about how I can get my hands on the person. But I need to remember the Lord. Did we remember him right away, or was it an afterthought? We'll do much better in our circumstance, I can assure you, if we remember him right from the start. Amen? We got to remember the Lord. Why? Because it can spare us a lot of heartache. Anybody in here into not having heartache? I like that. Or maybe much despair, and it can prevent us from maybe even being a pain to others as well. We don't often think about that, do we? When we're having a trial or when we're going through something, how is this affecting somebody else that I'm near? I don't know about you, but I can remember times when I was always sitting there talking with somebody and telling them about what I was going through, on and on. And it wasn't until after the Lord made me one of those people to sit and listen to someone. And I realized, man, I got to call people up and apologize to them. What a pain I was. I can't believe that. One of them was my sister. But Jonah has come to the place where he is now at the end of himself. And he realizes that he is not where he's supposed to be. Ironically, Jonah knows I'm not supposed to be in the belly of this fish, right? I'm supposed to be in Nineveh. Telling some mean people, you're toast, right? 40 days and you guys are gone. But he wanted no part of that. But he knew he was not supposed to be there. He's been running from God, and he's been making excuses as to why he doesn't want to carry out his ministry that was given to him by God. I don't know how many times maybe you have felt that way. I can remember times just telling God, not right now. I'm not going to do that right now. My heart is not right. And not realizing that he was trying to get my heart right so that I could accomplish them. So I was keeping him at bay. But even more than that, Jonah realizes something about his own heart. His heart is not in the right place because his heart is on self. A lot of times we don't like hearing that from a pulpit or a teacher, but we spend a lot of time about self. Feelings are about self. You hurt my feelings, right? And that's a very hard thing to hear because you hurt my feelings, right? As if you never hurt my feelings or vice versa, I'll put it that way. But it's about self. Oh, the idol of self. We talked about that last week, didn't we? I mentioned it, that it says the idol of self is so destructive because we deceive even ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9. You may not like that verse, but it's true. The heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is. My heart is deceitful. It is wicked. And so is yours. And I love that Jeremiah brings that out. And really, it's God bringing it out in his word. And I shared this many times years ago, that the problem with that is that we're the last ones to know it. Everybody else can see it through us. Amen? For Jonah, he saw himself as being worthy. I spoke about this last week, that he saw himself as being worthy of things that the Ninevites were not worthy of. God's mercy or his love, his forgiveness. Sometimes we can get like that in the midst of our anger and say, you know, forget it. I'm not going to pray for that person. Or I'm not going to show them any grace or any mercy. And then I think about the song that we sang, at the cross, we are forgiven. At the cross, we are healed. At the cross, you know, on and on. New life is given. At the cross, God's love is revealed. And so when I'm in that midst or in those throes, I have to always go back to the cross. I have to see Jesus hanging there and going, and then I take my case to him. Did you see what this thing did to me? And he says, yes, Al, this is what they did to me. And it pales in comparison, doesn't it? We need to think about that. But he realizes, Jonah does, that in fact, he's been playing his own God. And he makes a statement in verse 8. He says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. What does that mean? Translated, I will lose out on the everlasting love that God has for me if I keep serving self. The idol of self. Isn't it like this when we find ourselves away from the things that God is calling us to do? We don't admit it and say, well, I'm serving self right now. I'm not going to serve God, but I'm going to serve self. But we wrestle with it, and we keep trying to find a way to make things work the way that we want to instead of just surrendering to him. How many of you know that every time we try to do that, we justify it, only one day to say, God, I was wrong. Your way is better than mine. But why do we do that? Why do we seek to want to do it on our own? Anyone? Anybody relate to that or have a word on that? What causes us to do that?
Control.
Control. You want to be in control, right?
You know everything.
You do, yeah.
Pride.
Pride. Awesome. Hurt.
We believed Satan.
Exactly.
He says you can be God.
Exactly, right? Maybe not wanting to surrender it to God, right? I don't want to give this up. I can remember when we were, I don't want to put them on the spot, but Josh and what's your name? Megan?
Melvin.
Josh and Megan doing their counseling. I mean, it was like nothing else was in her box but that day. I need to get here. As soon as I get married, then life's going to be good.
I was wrong.
But it's the things that we look at and say, I can do this. And you know, reality, what we don't admit is when we don't want to do things God's way, what we're saying is, I can do a better job than you because I know me.
I know better.
Yeah, I know me. You're saying that to the one that created you. Yes, yes. But Jonah remembers all this and then says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah rededicates his life back to God. I'll say some words in here that it might startle you, but he does attempt to rededicate his life back. The word sacrifice ironically means to slaughter, and in an animal, and to make an offer to. So, for us, when we rededicate our lives to the Lord, the thing that we sacrifice is our flesh and our ways and our will. We have to let that go. We have to say, Lord, what do you have for me? What we are saying in, like Jonah, I will pay what I have vowed, is I will repent and do the 180 I was going and turn back to him. Whatever it is that he's calling you today, take it before him. How many of you know that God is very gentle? He's very loving. He's very kind. He's not going to, God never punishes us. I had to share this with a brother not too long. He will never punish us. He'll correct us. But he will not punish us because of his love for us. But Jonah's reminded of the most important thing for those who have been saved. And that is those five words, that salvation is of the Lord. That's what he says. He remembers that. And the moment that we remember that, there's freedom from our wandering hearts. The salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah found this out. When he did, he was literally set free in the belly of that fish. And in verse 10, it says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. And if you recall last week, I pointed out that the fish listened to Jonah, listened to God better than Jonah did, right? Think about that for a moment.
And the sailors.
Yeah, and the sailors too. But how is that possible? Think about that for a moment. Some of you have animals, a lot of us do, that listen better than your kids, right?
Yeah.
I'm always amazed how dogs respond to commands, yet kids, not too much. And I know some of my, if Lauren ever hears that, I'm in trouble. But anyway, it's true, okay? But think about it for a moment. And just wait for a moment. Are we not like that to the Lord? I have to ask how many times I have not responded when he spoke to me. Anyone else relate to that? You know he spoke to you about something, and you didn't listen. Sometimes it can cost you dearly by not doing that.
Sometimes you don't realize at the moment.
Exactly, at the moment. And then pride sets in because we're like, well, I'm not going to apologize for that, God, because then I'll have to prove I was wrong. Knowing all the time, full well, he already knew we were wrong because of our hearts. But God speaks to the fish. I was reading some commentators. They said that that God actually made the sick fish, or the fish sick, so he would throw Jonah up. I don't know where they got that from, but usually when you Ralph or barf or whatever that is, maybe I shouldn't have said Ralph, but when you barf or vomit, it's because something's not right inside you, right? Think about if you had a human inside you. Well, wait a minute. Someone just had a baby. That analogy didn't work.
Well, you probably got sick.
Yeah, she got sick. Okay. Save me. Save me from there.
I mean, I had a C-section. It's okay.
Okay, very good.
Your thought was good,
Al. Amen. Thank you. There's grace. But some people think that this whole story, this whole thing about the fish is a bunch of malarkey. Like, how could God communicate to a fish? Well, for one thing, he created it, right? As a matter of fact, the Word of God, Genesis, tells us that God spoke the world into existence, right? He used some words. So if he could create the universe and everything in it, surely he could talk to a fish. And the difference is the fish obeyed. Much different than Jonah. God gives this fish the 411 and he spits Jonah out on some dry land. And the next thing we know, as I pointed out last week, Jonah gets thrown up into dry land, unlike Philip in Acts 8:39, who God lifted out of one place and put him in another. Yet Jonah had to go through all of the garbage of being vomited out of a fish and to have a story told about him that's really kind of embarrassing, if you ask me, if he just would have listened. But now we know that God could have done the same thing if he wanted to, but I have to believe that he's trying to get Jonah's attention. For Philip, it was easy. I'm taking you from here, and I'm putting you over there. I mean, think about that for a moment when you read that. That's trippy. Last night, Jennifer and Mike were in Colorado, and 2.5 hours later, they were in Portland. Philip was even faster. He just went from Colorado. No, God wouldn't put him in Portland. But Colorado and then Willamina.
Right.
But God uses the things that he needs to get his message to us, right? And this is what he's doing with Jonah. Jonah's now come full circle back to his open and loving relationship with the Lord. And by the way, it was on God's terms. It wasn't on Jonah's terms. He's come full circle. His heart is now right. And he can commune with God. See, we can make that possible if we're in a place where, have you ever been in a place where you knew your heart was not right? Mm-hmm. I have. Ashamedly so, I have. Challenged God, went after Satan, you know, challenged him. It didn't work. But I told God, I'm giving you 24 hours to change my circumstance or I'm done being a Christian. Well, obviously, God came through because I'm still here. But we can get in times like that, or we can just walk away from the whole thing because of what's going on in our life. But we need to be in that place where our heart is right, where we can commune with God. And I want to take this moment just to point out something, that only true repentance before God can open up our hearts to receive him. The church is filled with a facade. People who will not repent when God has come after them over and over and over, but they just go through the motions. They come and they attend. But only true repentance before God can open up our hearts to receive from him. A heart that is willing to hear. A heart that is willing to respond. And a heart that doesn't attempt to make excuses for sin, but instead makes it right. God, you're right. I'm wrong, and you're right, and I need to repent. I need to make that 180. And I have seen in the past and had to deal with a lot of folks that made that hard turn away from the Lord, and it was painful to deal with at best. But in order to do that, you got to also turn your hearts away from brothers and sisters in the Lord. You have to do that because you can't just turn it away from God and not turn it away from believers. You do the same. And what do we do when that happens? Oddly enough, we constantly look for a way to try to badger them through Scripture to bring them back into the fold rather than just loving them. We know they love the Lord, or they did love the Lord, but they're looking and they're in a place in their life where they want to see God work. Desperately, they want to know that God works. But when we get around religion, it's what keeps them away from God. It's when they actually see Jesus in the life of a person that they say, I want that again. I had it once before and I want it again. And Jonah is in that place now, but we find true repentance to God brings about restoration, not only to him, but to those that have been injured by our behavior. We don't often like to think that way, that we could injure somebody by turning our backs on God. We really do. It hurts the masses as a whole. But true repentance. And we need to go. One of the things that I often share with people, and Lynn and I have conversations about this all the time, but we need to go to those that we have an odd against or have demeaned in our haste to make things right with them when we can hear from the Lord again. Now, I'm talking about people that you have an odd against. Maybe they haven't done anything, or you're looking at them. You need to go to them and make that right. All you can do when it's the other way around, when somebody has done that to you, keep that forgiveness open in your hearts. Paul says, in as much as possible with you, do everything that you can to be at peace with one another. When you do your part, if they refuse to do that, that's not on you. That's on them. And they got to take it before the Lord. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I'm used to that. I'm used to getting in trouble for saying things. We need to learn and do a better job of standing firm in the Word of God. When people have actions or attitudes that are counter to what the Lord is having them do or having us do, we need to stand firm in it. And the only way you can do that is by knowing what His Word says about that. Where do we forgive? How do we forgive? Why are we to forgive? Because the truth of the matter is we're the ones that are left with all of the baggage and all of the nonsense. They might not be feeling it. But Jonah now is making an attempt to make his heart right with the Lord. I said last week, he doesn't really truly repent. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, that's not what I read. Well, we're going to see in chapter 4, he's still mad at God. The Ninevites get saved and he's mad. Have you ever gotten mad at a group of people that got saved? I hope not. I was like, that's our job, is to go out and preach the gospel, right? Well, okay, I'm going to share with you about the Lord. And, oh man, darn it, he got saved. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Now he's going to get all God's grace and all God's mercy. And, oh man, I'm the one who deserves that. But we have an attitude towards people. This is what Jonah's problem was. And, you know, the other part is many times we often hear people say, the Lord spoke to me about something. Yet their lives are lived in rebellion against God. The Lord spoke to me. Now, some of you might think it's, you know, it's not even something that is possible, that it might even be contradictory at best, but I sincerely believe that God will speak to them. But it's not going to be what they want to hear. If somebody is not living the life that God has called them to be, they don't have the authority to come to you or to me and tell me what God has said. They don't. That's why we always have to keep our hearts in that place. We keep short accounts with God and we got to be at that place. Why? So that we can help them to be able to overcome where they are. If our relationship is not right with the Lord, we don't have any power through the Holy Spirit to go and effectively minister to people. You can't pray for somebody that, you know, that you hate. Sure you can. I hate that. Lord, I hate this person. And I pray that you just kick them in the teeth because what they did to me. I mean, think about that for a moment. That's not grace. That's not mercy. You pray the same way that you would want God to relate to you in, right? That's what David did. He went through the motion of the emotions. He did say, God, kick him in the teeth. But then he came to his senses and he realized he was spurning his hurt and he showed his hurt, but he was being real. But when our relationship with him is right, then everything's going to be right. Some attempt to say that God directs them to do a job. Maybe people, and this is something that's really a sensitive subject today. When someone says, I really want to hear from the Lord, where I work or where I live or who do I marry, right? Because you took it before the Lord. Wait, make your head yes, yeah. For years. Yeah. Who is that I married? But if their life is not indicative of what God wants them to do, if it doesn't honor him, how fast is he going to be able to speak to that person? Time's going to go by. He's going to let them wait until they actually come to the place to realize, man, my life needs to change. It needs to be right with the Lord. My thinking, my heart, the process, everything that I'm going through, it needs to change. And this is what Jonah realizes. And he finally comes to the place where he understands that he's out of touch with God and he turns back. He repents, or he attempts to repent, right? He realizes he's in the wrong place, but he's going to make an attempt to do it. And we're going to see why I use that phrase, attempts, later on in a couple of weeks. But, and now I shared all of that to get to our study tonight. And that's in chapter 3. I had to preface this for you because these next two verses are so prolific. Matter of fact, they are really about what chapter 3 is about. Verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it the message that I tell you." It's such an important verse, as I said, because this encompasses the entire chapter. As a matter of fact, for you and I, it also is the most important aspect of our walks. And did you catch why it is? It is in the phrase, "the word of the Lord." Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Every one of us who have a relationship with the Lord, the most important thing that we have is the word of the Lord. If we are not in this, we are not going to know what he says to us regarding our circumstances. And a lot of times we may not understand it, but what it is that God is trying to say to us, but no matter what we do, no matter what decision we make, it must focus around the word of the Lord.
Everything. More than once too.
Yes, yes. We have oftentimes people say, "I don't know when God is speaking to me," or "when do I know what to do?" And that's an excellent question. All of us want to know that. What is God saying to me? First, we must see whatever it is that he's given, it must line up with the word of God and the nature of God. That's how you keep from getting in trouble. Does it line up with God's word, and does it line up with his nature? Too often, I mean, people are, it's really kind of a crapshoot where they take some dice and say, "Okay, do I move to Oregon or Minnesota?" Throw it out there. Oh, darn it. Thank God it's not California, but I'll get in trouble for that. But it has to line up with God's word, because the word of the Lord is what is key. And for Jonah, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Matter of fact, it's the exact same word. How many times has God spoken to you more than once? See, this thought or this impression that I'm hearing, does it line up with who he is and what he's doing in my life? We talked about that earlier today, Mike and I. I had no idea years ago when the Lord took me out of law enforcement. I had no idea that I would be here. I didn't even fathom this picture. I had no knowledge of it. All I thought is my life was over. What am I going to do now? I mean, I did that for a couple of months. What am I going to do now? What else do I know to do? What am I going to do? I had no idea that was all a premise for here. See, we don't know what God has down the road. We really don't. So we need to be with him in the moment. Lord, what are you speaking to me? What do you want me to do? And where do you want me to do it? And this is why it's so important to be in his word, so as to clearly hear what the Spirit is saying. He's going to give us what we need to know if we're looking at him. He's going to tell us what we want to know, but we need to know who he is. And remember, I said that Jonah was given a ministry that he was running from. Remember that early on? Well, this was a mission given to him by God. Prayerfully, that every one of us are in a place where God is calling us to. I love when Shirley mentioned it. She's moving. I think she has settled in her heart, because Shirley loves her house. It's a nice house. But she settled in her heart, "I need to be here. This is where the Lord would have me." And I love that. She takes it before the Lord. But this was the mission that God gave Jonah for the Ninevites. Why? Because he wanted these evil people saved. Wouldn't you like Washington, D.C. to be saved? All the time. Everyone. But if someone comes to me and says that God said, and it leads me away, think about this for a moment. If they come to you and they say, "God says," and it leads you away from the mission and the dependence of God, you have to say, "No way. That's not of God. It's leading me away from the things of God." Maybe the move that you're contemplating, or the job that you're trying to leave, the relationship maybe that you're trying to start, is it of the Lord? Trust me, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache if you just rely. And what is the greatest thing that we have to do in order to do that? Be still and wait. But I can make this happen today. Be still and know that he is God, right? Psalms, what is it, 46:10? Mm-hmm. Be still and know that he's God. The thing we have to ask ourselves, are these things about us or is it about God? That's how important we need to make him in our life. Is he at the forefront of my decision or is it someone else's feelings? If we were to ask him, here's something that I often think about. How many times have we been afraid to ask him because we were afraid of the answer? What if he says no? Mm-hmm. Right? How many know that if he says no, it's a good thing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not when it comes to what I want and he says no, right? But the important thing that we need to see here in this verse is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So we read through verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. God doesn't let up. He reminds Jonah. And a couple of things I want to point out here. God speaks to Jonah again, the second time. I don't know about you, but I love that God is the God of second chances, third and fourth and fifth and gazillion. Because if he wasn't, I would be toast. But I want us to notice something else here. It's the same word as the first time, isn't it? Jonah doesn't get to escape it. It's not a new revelation. It's the same word. So if he's doing that in your life, if he's speaking the same thing, my only advice to you is hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay? And I believe that the fact that the word came the second time allows us to see God's grace, right? The word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but what that reminds me of is the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? The word of the Lord. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to you and I. And I guess the question I'm asking is, what do I do with it? I can honestly tell you, there's been times in the last couple of months where I get so busy with the things that I'm doing that I sit here and get ready for the study and the Lord reminds me, hey, I kind of want to talk to you today. And so I pick it up and then he just shows me something that's going to happen. He doesn't say, this is going to happen, so be ready. But he gives me a verse, and then later on, something happens, and I'm like, oh, man, it's a good thing I read that verse. Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble. This week was a tough week for me. I had to sit before him and say, Lord, I really need to know. I need to hear from you more than twice. I need to hear a lot. Because you get in that place sometimes where you want to take things into your own hands. Well, maybe you don't. You guys don't do that. You're very loving and kind, but I do. The Bible tells us in Mark 13:26 that Jesus, the Word, is going to come a second time, doesn't it? And it says when he comes, he's going to come with great glory. I love that. A Hispanic Calvary pastor down in Southern California by the name of Raul Ruiz, he read that one day and he said, and he was real good friends with Greg Laurie, the pastor. And he said, man, I hate that guy because God's going to come back with him with great glory. Not Greg Laurie, but great glory. So, Raul's accent is so heavy that that's what he thought it was. I hate that guy. For you and me, what is our take here tonight with this story of Jonah? God has given Jonah a second chance to fulfill his ministry after temporarily losing his mind to selfishness. If we were honest, many times we can get that way. It's about me and how I feel and what about me? And I'm sorry, because of time, we're only going to be able to cover those two verses in chapter 3. But for many in here tonight, the word of the Lord came. He spoke to you through that. And I guess the question would be, what is it that he's saying to us? the word of the Lord. When you come to a study, I want to hear from God. I want to know how I can best glorify him and use his word in my life. How can I apply this word to my life? So here's a question. Is the word we are hearing from him or from our own hearts? Because at the same time, our hearts are speaking to us as well, aren't they? Have I been relenting on a particular subject that he's zeroing in on? What is he calling us? For some, the word that he's been bringing to you is more than a second time. It's been a few times. And I think this week would be a great place to pick up, or this would be a great place to pick up next week as we ponder this week. What has been the word of the Lord for us? What's he saying to you? He's speaking. These days, remember, he's coming back in great glory. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. What am I going to do to get myself in a place to do what he's calling me to do and trust everything else to him? See, we are people that like to try to figure things out before we do it, right? Anybody else like that? Yeah. We need to have all these ducks in order. I got to do all of this. And then all of a sudden, like, I can remember Lynn and I said, well, I guess we're moving. Where? Oregon. What? Yeah, we're leaving. He told me 3-6 months, we're gone. We got to go somewhere. I had no idea what he was doing, and neither will you. But will you trust him? What is your word? Or ask him, what is your word to me, Lord, this week? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Your word is true.